You're listening to Food Action in the Shoe Swap. I am your host, Jerry Paquette, co-author of the book Eat to Save Your Life and an active member of the Shoe Swap Food Action Co-op. Food Action provides discussions with a range of people and organizations about food and everything related to it, the people who grow and distribute it, and its links to our health and well-being. Today I am talking with the co-author of Eat to Save Your Life, Ms. Gloria Askew. She is at her home in Prince Edward Island and joining us via Skype. Those of you who have been with me in the past probably have been on the air, or at least you have been listening to me on the air when she was visiting us. So some of you know Gloria. Last week I had Ms. Patricia White, a well-known shoe swap activist, and Bert Deneau, a highly respected elder of the Nisqually Indian Band. They were here in the studio to discuss the protest at Standing Rock, North Dakota, as you may know. Yesterday, Sunday, December the 4th, the impasse was resolved, at least for now. But the story is not over, so stay tuned to it, especially with the knowledge that the conflict among development, environment, water, and food will be shifting north. Today, I have Gloria with me to change our focus from out there to in here, and I'm pointing to my gut, the link between our bodies and food. Indeed, we're going deep inside our bodies to talk about our microbiomes and the foods we need to keep them and our guts healthy, especially throughout the Christmas holidays. In a previous show, I featured the world of our microbiome that hosts trillions of bacterial cells that not only populate our guts, but more importantly, literally define who we are. The cells of the bacteria in our system, in our gut, exceed the number of cells we think of as our own, as our bodies, as ourselves. They actually constitute well over 90% of that which makes up your body. And they're right there, right now. And it doesn't work to think of them as our body's guests, because without them, well, we simply do not exist. Guests can be sent home or not invited in. You don't want these little guys to ever go away. So in essence, we're going to talk today about how absolutely essential it is to look after our bacterial friends, what we typically do to threaten them, and what we can do to ensure their well-being and, ipso facto, our own well-being, especially over the holiday season. You're listening to Food Action with me, Jerry Paquette, and my guest, Gloria Askew, retired head of emergency hospital wards, author, and nutritionist. Hello, Gloria.
How are you?
Well, I'm fine. The snow has not fallen permanently here yet. Calgary's a little bit under there. We know North Dakota because we see it on TV. They're all really under the snow. What about you in Prince Edward Island? I noticed some patches of snow on the weather maps.
Yes, we had our first snow this week, but I noticed Vancouver even has snow.
Oh, yeah. It's just the little haven that we live in here. We're without snow. I won't talk about it next week, just in case it catches up to us. So welcome to Food Action. Let's start by sharing with our listeners how and why you made the journey from hospital emergency wards to nutritionist and food advisor and book writer. Give us a nutshell story.
Well, it was interesting. When we work in medicine, we don't look for causes necessarily. We do deal with symptoms. And so in my emergency, I wasn't paying attention to anything about food. I wasn't taught anything about food. And I hired a doctor who had done...
Whoops, I think I lost you, Gloria. Can you hear me? I think I have lost you. Well, just give me a minute, everybody. I'm going to see if I can get her back here. I think she's trying to get me herself. Just give me 1 minute. This is always the problem with technology, isn't it? Okay, I'm hitting video call. I'm getting a good sound. It's ringing. And there she is, I think. Are you there, Gloria? Okay. Okay, you're back. Okay, now don't touch anything.
Just left me.
Okay, so get close to your microphone, and away we go. Okay, so you were telling us that, back up a little bit and tell, where did you get your training to get so high up in the medicine hierarchy to become head of emergency ward? I mean, that must have been an exciting career for you. How did you get ready for that?
Well, every nurse, once she graduates, she's been in every department in nursing, and some love medical nursing, and some love surgical nursing, and some love pediatrics. Well, personally, I loved something fast, something that took a lot of knowledge, and you had to think quickly, and that was an ICU, an emergency. And so once I finished training, I did go directly into emergency nursing.
And where did you take your training?
In Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
Oh, you're a Saskatchewan girl. Okay.
Yes. And I met and married my husband in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, and he was with Gulf Oil. So we were transferred in the 80s to Cape Breton Island, where they built the big refinery down there on the Strait of Canso. But there wasn't a hospital there, and so I had to do occupational health nursing, and to me that was about as boring as, I don't know. And so once a week I would drive up to Antigonish and work in the ICU up there just to keep my skills. And then when we were transferred back to Fort McMurray, I was hired as the director of nursing there of emergency and helped design and build that new hospital.
Wow.
So, yes.
I didn't know that about you. I know some of the other stuff. I didn't know you did that.
Yes, and then that's where I started learning about this whole thing, about nutrition and nutrients, and started a small business outside of my department in nutritional consulting. And then we were transferred to Calgary for 10 years, and a lot of the clinics there have medical clinics where the doctor triages everyone, and then he has all the other specialties there in his office.
Would you explain, Gloria, what triage means? We all hear it, especially if we watch, Combat Hospital and things like that. What's a triage?
Well, if you come into an emergency department, you're seen right away by a specific nurse is right there to look at you, find out what's exactly going on, how serious is this, do you need to be seen immediately, can you wait a few minutes? That's what triaging is. Mm-hmm. Urgent, is it urgent or emergent? And she makes that decision. In some of the clinics in Calgary, you actually see the doctor when you come in, and he makes that decision. And he may say, today you don't need me, Mrs. Jones, but there's a door right over there, and you just go and see, you need a nutritional consultant. Hmm. And I was hired in three of those clinics, and so they might see me, and I may say, let's get you on a good weight loss program in bariatric medicine, which is the medical specialty of obesity and metabolism. And then you need to be doing some exercises. So if you go over to that door, there is a physiotherapist, and they'll get you started on the proper exercises. And maybe you need a Reiki master, or maybe you need a naturopath. So they're all in the same clinics. And that's just the way medicine really should work.
But it doesn't work that way everywhere. I haven't been directed to the Reiki master in a hospital in my life.
But they do have, they've honored Reiki in the recovery room and the operating rooms in Alberta as well.
Well, that's good to hear. But now you didn't get your nutritional training while studying for medicine, did you?
No, not a bit. Nothing. Didn't even talk about it.
So what prompted you to become interested in it? I mean, you studied for all these emergency situations, and I imagine that takes an undue amount of training and skill.
Yes. Yes.
So what did you notice that said, I need to know more about food?
Well, it was actually the doctor that I met, and I was actually running the emergencies then, But he had already studied this. He was a trauma specialist, but he was also an orthomolecular specialist, which is that medical specialty of the relationship between nutrients and the human cell.
So it's the cell is the main unit, single unit of our body. We can break it down further into the DNA and so on and so forth. But as a unit that's holistic, the cell is the single thing that we need to know about, isn't it?
Yes, and he said to me, Gloria, what do we swear to when we graduate from medicine? We take the Hippocratic Oath. And he says to me, you explain that to me. What does that mean? I said, well, it's based on food and nutrients. And he said, well, precisely. And he said, the first clause that we state or we have to adhere to is at first do no harm. This is him talking, not me. And he said, today we do a lot more harm because we don't look at this entire situation. So he felt that he couldn't. He said, the Hippocratic Oath is at first, let food be thy medicine and thy medicine be thy food.
And that's Hippocrates.
That's Hippocrates' mantra. So he said, I always felt I will never go away from my Hippocratic Oath. And so I studied and so he said, what you're going to find here in emergency is that many, many patients, if they aren't urgent or emergent, will not leave here with a prescription. I said, but everybody leaves here with a prescription. He said, well, that's going to change when I'm on duty. Mm-hmm. So that was really where I started to think about it. And then I watched his successes and I just couldn't believe that this was true. And it was. And so, and then when we got to Calgary and I was teaching in those clinics, here they reversed type 2 diabetes on a regular basis because we got that visceral fat gone and they were able to do that and reversed osteoporosis on a regular basis. I reversed my own, Jerry, in 7 months with food and nutrients and exercise.
But how did you know how to do that? Through the self-studies that you had conducted?
I started studies, yes. Yep.
Now, I know you work with people with diabetes. Yep. I don't have diabetes, type 2, so I haven't gone to my doctor and said, help me with diabetes. So I don't have firsthand stories of what my doctor would say to me. But from talking with others and watching the ads on television, diabetes can be controlled but not cured, and it's done with pharmaceutical drugs. You use food.
Well, I work with their doctor as well, so when I'm doing a nutritional consult, I say to them, I will be communicating with your physician as we proceed here. You're on X14 medications a day. I had a patient with that recently. Or they might be on 10, they might be on 7. So I'll just communicate with the doctor. I am going to be working with bariatric medical principles and we'll get this weight down. And then I hope you will be on board on our team here and ramp down their medications as you see fit throughout this process. And Jerry, just to tell you one wonderful story, that I just have to tell everybody because it was so dramatic. This patient came to me and he weighed 180 extra pounds, 280 pounds. And he was on 14 medications a day. And he was so obese and he could hardly walk. He was losing the feeling in his feet. He was getting peripheral neuropathy from all of this. And
say that phrase again, peripheral neuropathy. What is that?
Yeah, that's the deadening of the nerves in the feet. So you lose all the feeling in your feet and legs, so you can't, wouldn't be able to drive his motorhome.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, so they love to go down south in the winter, but they told him he wouldn't be able to do that anymore. And he was crying. He was so upset about that. Anyway, we started this process and working with the doctor on the medications. And a year later, he'd lost 180 pounds. He was off all medications but two. And, he had two heart failures, too, before all of this. And one day I met his heart specialist, and he said, "Don't stop doing what you're doing." He said, "I've never seen that kind of success in the history of my practice." And I said, "Well, it was all about getting rid of that visceral fat and getting them all proper nutrients." And he said, "And working with his doctor to help get these medications down." So he said, "Brilliant, let's keep doing it." So I think that's so exciting. He's driving his motorhome and he's running with his dog, and it's very exciting.
Well, way to go. I mean, that must make you feel like running with your dog, too. Where is Lily, by the way? I don't see her in the background.
She's here somewhere.
She's there. Well, don't go get her. She'll start barking at me because she's so excited. So, Gloria, tell us briefly. We talk about visceral fat a lot. What is the problem with visceral fat, other than the fact that you need wider pants and big, longer belts? What does it do that is so damaging to our well-being?
Well, what happens when you carry the fat viscerally around your belly? It doesn't even have to be tons of it. Even if it's an extra 10 pounds of visceral fat, where you start to see that pouching out.
How can we tell? There are some people who are relatively slim, but you have pointed out to me before, they have some visceral fat. How do we know that we have some, and how do we know what we've got is too much?
Look in the mirror.
And what do we see when we look in the mirror?
Your mirror will show you got a little lump in your belly, a big lump, a very, very big lump. But any kind of a lump at all, expansion of your gut area around the belly button up to the ribs, that's all visceral there.
Okay.
And what happens then is that the insulin we produce in order to digest our food, right, or pick up the glucose from food and do the right things with it.
That's what insulin does.
Picks up the sugar and the glucose out of the foods we eat and takes it to where it needs to be, stores it in the liver the brain needs about 60% of glucose. And it's our number one energy producer. Oops. So we have to have glucose, and the insulin has to pick it up from the food and take it and deliver it to the right places.
And fat interferes. Okay, sorry, Gloria, we're hiccuping a little bit on the Skype program. Cross your fingers and keep talking.
So anyway, if it is there, this fat, it stops the insulin from picking up the sugar. And so the insulin continues to go around your body, causing inflammation. And the sugar isn't being picked up, so now that's sticking to your cells, and you can never get it off. And eventually you've got type 2 diabetes, and you've got all kinds of problems, so you're in big caca.
Now, you said you can never get it off. I think you don't mean that. It won't come off if you keep doing what you're doing?
It won't come off the cells. That's right. So the quicker you can get that off and stop that from happening will be where you can have a lot better and healthy life. So,
okay, now can I ask, is it too technical a question for a radio show to say, what do you do to get it off those cells?
Well, I help them to get on to a bariatric medical weight loss program and exercise program so that they can get this off.
So it's
visceral fat off.
Okay, so that means a change in diet, that means a change in activity. It's not very easy, I wouldn't think.
It's simple, but it's not, and nothing like that is easy because you've got to change what you're used to doing and what you like to do. But I have to make a decision. Do I like being ill down the road, or will I make some changes to make that not happen to me?
Okay, thank you for that. All right, let me just take a break here and remind everybody who they're listening to and what we're talking about and where we are and you are, and we'll come back. And I'm going to introduce you and everybody to Dr. Tom O'Brien and a program that he runs, and I'm going to ask you your opinion about what he has to say. So bear with me for just a moment. You are listening to Food Action in the Shoe Swap with Jerry Paquette and my guest Gloria Askew, all the way from Prince Edward Island. and you are listening to CKVS 93.7 FM. The sponsor for this show is DeMills. DeMills offers a wide selection of fresh quality fruit and produce from their own farm, from other local farms, and from farms around the world. And they feature the vegetables and the fruits that Gloria, I think, is going to be talking about a little bit later. Remember to visit DeMills' website at demillsfarmmarket.com for more information on what they have and the seasons of the year that they have it and what their specials are. And while you're on their website at demillsfarmmarket.com, have a look at the roadmap, which demonstrates the changes to the Trans-Canada Highway that, in fact, threaten the well-being of DeMills. Have a peek and see what the issue is. And now, back to Gloria. So, Gloria, I have been listening to a program called Betrayal. It's a consideration of how people with chronic illnesses have been, in their words, rather betrayed by the promise of pharmaceutical remedies to their chronic illnesses. So I wanted to share some of this with you and read a little piece and then get your take on it as somebody trained in medicine and trained in nutrition as well. You're a rarity for us. So I want your opinion on this. So here is what this is about. The program I've been following concerns the use of food, lifestyle, and environmental protection to help us take charge of our own health, especially in the face of a growing reality that has established medicine it establishes that medicine cannot address our health needs as once we thought it could. Something my own doctor, by the way, concedes with some candor and frustration. The program I've been following is called the Betrayal Series and can be found for whoever wants to have a look at it, as long as it's up and running, at BetrayalSeries.com. Betrayal Series, all one word, .com. And I warn you, it's a long program. It has about 8 1.5-hour programs for you to see. And I recommend you do have a peek at it and see whether or not you want to have a look at all 8. The program focuses on our interactions between the environment and the gastrointestinal, endocrine, and immune system. And part of the program claim is that nutrition is central to the well-being of our body's interlinked system of operations. That is, and I like this part of their program, Gloria, where they stress that no organ or system can be healthy without the entire system being healthy, and no organ or system can be unhealthy without affecting all other systems and organs in our bodies. They argue that conditions that most people never recover from, and it's a long list here, such as lupus, colitis, Crohn's, MS, rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, type 2, I think they're talking about, skin conditions like psoriasis, and also degenerative brain diseases, including Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and dementia. We need to be thinking of them as having root causes, not simple, discrete causes that can be treated by employing holistic remedies. Remedies that always involve nutrition, and they talk about other things as well, environment, lifestyles, all manners of other things. But nutrition is what I focus on when I listen to them. The program host, Dr. Tom Bryan, says this, and this is what I'd like you to respond to. He says, I quote, "I wish I could tell you that you could knock on your local doctor's office and get the answers to the questions about your chronic diseases. But unfortunately," he says, "the statistics show us that the root causes and true solutions are very rarely coming from these sources of authority," that is, the doctors. "The brutal reality," he says, "is on autoimmune disease, modern medicine does not have the answers." So I'm interested, because you have training in both education in both traditional medicine and in holistic impact of good food and nutrition. What's your response to Dr. Bryan?
He's brilliant. He addresses exactly the issues that are happening today out there in our whole medical world, unfortunately, because autoimmunity, well, if you have something going on in your body, let's say there's something happening in your brain, well, you're going to get a medication, or maybe it's pain something, or maybe it's something to do with your skin or your joints. Generally, you'll come out with a prescription, okay? But what they all are is warning lights that something is wrong in the gut. But see, that's not being looked at. Oh, let me see. Let's look and examine your gut. Or let's see if you've got enough vitamin D. Maybe you're very deficient in vitamin D. We better check that.
Can we back up, Gloria, for just a minute? People may not understand what we mean by gut. They may put their hand on their bellies and say, that's the gut. But that's not the case, is it? Would you explain what the gut is and where it starts and where it ends?
Well, first of all, everything starts in your mouth. And so in your mouth, you produce saliva, you produce some digestive hormones in there, and then you chew, and it's one of your defense mechanisms in there as well. And so all of that, you should be breaking down that food into almost a liquid before you swallow it. These are all very, very critical. Most people chew a couple times and swallow it.
What's wrong with that? Why does the body not want you to do that? It wants you to, as you said, chew. Think of yourself, as a friend of ours once told us, Dr. Carl Taylor, think of your mouth as a juicing machine.
That's right, because you aren't stimulating all of the antibodies that are in there for you. You're not putting in that, getting all of that digestive enzyme that's in there to break down the food properly and have that starting digestion. Mm-hmm. This is all the start. Plus, the cells that are in your mouth, they're really protective as well. So they're stopping that now to go down further and cause inflammation. So all these lots of things are starting in your mouth.
So the bacteria you talk about is what I referred to at the top of the show. This is the bacteria that is in our body in such numbers that they outnumber the rest of our cells in our body. I don't know what the ratio is, but there's 90% of our body's cells are made up of that bacteria that you just said starts in your mouth. There's bacteria, there's little bugs in your mouth.
Yes, and we have to have those. And only 5% of bacteria is harmful. And the rest of it is our immune system. It's all critical to our body, to our microbiome. So then you swallow it, and now it's in the stomach, and the stomach produces hydrochloric acid to start that digestive process, and another hormone down there. And it doesn't absorb out of there. It produces, almost become a slurry down there. That's the work that's being done in your stomach. And then it goes on into your small bowel.
Now, what happens if the food that you have not chewed well ends up in your stomach and does not get processed? It gets passed into your gut, too, along with the slurry. And our bodies are designed to create the slurry. The rest of the gut wants and needs everything slurried. What happens to the bits? Why is that a problem?
Well, if you understand from after everything from your mouth all the way down, but if you were to look into the gut after it gets out of the stomach and you straighten the gut all out, because you know it goes cross and back and around because it's a lot of feet.
It's a packaging deal, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you just pulled it down straight, which is impossible, but let's say you did, it would look like it would look like a donut, and it would be about 25 feet down. But there's only one cell between your gut and the food that is in there. And so if it's not processed properly, then it's going to cause damage or down, going all the way down through that whole rest of the digestive process. So the gut really, really depends on you doing it all right from the mouth all the way down. So, and then a lot of people have their gallbladder out, and now you're not even getting the proper digestive enzymes from that.
So the gallbladder is a small organ designed to do what?
Produce the bile for digestion.
So bile is a good thing.
Very good thing.
Okay.
Yes. And then, of course, as soon as it gets out of the stomach, you've got your pancreas there. And the pancreas provides the digestive enzymes for fats, lipase and amylase and the protease to digest these different nutrients. And that's got to now be put into that small bowel before we can ever think of it, what's going to be picked up by the rest of the bowel.
So at every stage along the colon, the gut, from the mouth to the stomach, to the pancreas, there are specialized cells. It isn't that we've got this great big bag of random cells. They're specialized.
That's
and
right.
They have a job to do, and by eating well, you make their job possible. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And some foods you eat are inflammatory to that whole issue, too.
What does that mean, inflammatory?
It's causing inflammation when it starts to move down into the places where it shouldn't be. Because remember, there's not much, the bowel has, there's just one cell really between what's going to come through there and that food that's going to come in. So is that good? Is that a healthy thing that's going to come into the bowel? Is it not? And it's very important. So really important that we're conscious of what's going into our bodies.
And by one cell, you're being figurative. You mean there's a specialty group of cells there that are going to work on that food?
And that's right.
Okay, I gotcha. All right.
They discern what's going to happen once this comes into the gut.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so we have now inflammation. We can see inflammation when we get a cut on our hand and it starts to heal and it reddens, it flames up almost. And that's inflammation, and that's a good thing there because it means the body is working on healing. So what's wrong with inflammation then?
Well, it's targeting now not good things, so it's not digesting properly because it's not in the right place. Let's say that you're taking in chemicals from food. Maybe you didn't wash your fruit properly and get the chemicals off, or you've got artificial toxins, you've got sprays, you've got all kinds of this stuff, and now that's getting into the cells down below there, and that's causing autoimmune, which going against your whole system.
So there's a war going on. So the body, the cells, the bacterial cells, those cells that are not us but are designed to look after us and outnumber us, they see something wrong and they go on the attack.
That's right.
And if you continually eat the way you do to make them go on the attack, you're in a constant state of inflammation.
That's right. So then it shows up as symptoms, maybe in the brain, maybe one of these autoimmune diseases we're talking about. Maybe it's in the pain somewhere, or you're really, really tired. Maybe it's in your skin and you've got psoriasis, or in your joints, so you've got starting to look at rheumatoid arthritis.
And then quite often what happens is because we get symptoms from what's happening in our gut, those symptoms show up elsewhere, not necessarily in the gut unless you look there, but they may show up on our skin, so we get treatment for the skin.
That's right.
But the issue is in the gut.
And then the treatment being given isn't helping the situation because it's not correcting it. So now it is also causing more trouble because it wasn't even supposed to be there.
So what you have to do is prevent the battle from happening and calm it down as quickly as you can. So how do you do that? How do I do that without going to the hospital?
Well, first of all, you got to start from the beginning, and you got to start as early as you can. In fact, we're causing this in our children today, because if you're bringing home junk food and junk drinks, you're already starting this in your children's lives. And I got to tell you, just a kind of pop is the most deadly product. You should never be bringing pop into your home. But anyway,
What's wrong with pop? It tastes so darn good. What's wrong with it?
Well, it's full of a lot of sugar, artificial sugars. It's just a really harmful product.
Are sugars bad for us, Gloria?
Excess sugar is very bad for
us. So some sugar is okay. The sugar we get in fruits?
Yeah, so that's fine. That's glucose, and the body needs that. We've got to have some of that.
And but there's other sugars in fruits, but not the sheer number. I remember students at at Mount Royal University asking me what's wrong with pop. So I hauled out an empty glass, and a glass of water, and a bowl of sugar, and a teaspoon. And I said, I'm going to put sugar with my teaspoon from the sugar bowl into the glass of water, and I'm going to stir it all up. You tell me how many teaspoons of sugar. Tell me when to stop putting the sugar in, because I've now matched the amount of sugar in a small can of Coke. Do you get what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I start working with my spoon. I pour some sugar in. I stir the water, and I say, do I stop there? No, keep going. So 2, 3, 4. Around 5, everybody is saying stop, but I'm not done yet. I get all the way up to 11, and I say, that's how many teaspoons of sugar are in a small can of pop. Here's the water with that much sugar in it. Here, have a drink. And they don't want it.
Exactly.
But they'll take the pop.
Yes. And then you add all the other sugars that they're eating, and candies and junk and pastas and all kinds of things. And they say the average child is eating about 150 pounds of sugar a year. And so that's an awful lot. And, you know, it wasn't funny, but I guess I had to be amused a little. I was in Shoppers Drug Mart the other day, and they had a Diet Pop on sale. And I was waiting in line to pay what I had. And behind me was a well-dressed businessman, and he had a cart, and he had 5 cases of Diet Coke in it. And I said to him, I'm quite social, you know. So I just turned around and chatted, and I said, oh, it must be Diet Pop sale day. And he said, yeah, really good price today. And I said, oh, do you have children at home? And he said, yeah, I got two, five and under. And I said, and you're taking that home to them? I said, let me tell you about this pop. And so I gave him a little dialogue about it. And all of a sudden, he turned around, and there was about an 80-year-old lady behind him that had just as much in her cart that she was taking home to her grandchildren. And he gave her the dialogue, and the two of them took them and emptied their carts.
And did the store come and escort you off their premises?
Like, they probably would have if they'd heard me.
Now, Gloria, so what's wrong? We know some of what's wrong with sugar, and we haven't got time here today to talk about it in detail. But what's wrong if sugar is the issue? What's wrong with putting artificial sugar in? Haven't we gotten rid of the problem, and now we can drink our flavored water?
Well, artificial sugar is even more dangerous, again, because it's artificial. And then a lot of other things that are very dangerous.
Sorry, no, I want to back you up. I want people to understand this. What's wrong with artificial? We're talking about the gut now. So what's wrong with the
gut?
Okay.
Doesn't know what that is. And it says, what is this? And now it will react to that and cause inflammation.
Okay. So what is not known by the body genetically, if you will, it's been trained to recognize it. The bacteria recognizes things, but when they fail to recognize, it means it's an enemy, a threat, and it goes on the attack.
That's right.
So
it's linking then further down the road to obesity, autoimmune diseases, and now you've got those symptoms that you're now going and getting medical treatment for. that get a drug when you, all you needed to do was get that other stuff out of your life.
Just stop the battle from waging. Don't let it occur in the first place.
Yes.
Okay.
And obesity is an epidemic today, even in four-year-olds.
Okay, so we're partway down the gut now, and we know the gut is a long tube. If you stretched it out, maybe 25 feet or something, I don't know, I'll have to check on that. And every foot of it, or every so many feet of it, is specialized. It's just not one long tube. The mouth behaves differently than the stomach different than the pancreas. What's after the pancreas? What happens next?
Well, all of this now is in the small bowel, and so then the digestive.
That's right underneath the stomach?
Yep.
Okay.
And so now the fat is in there. That's good if you're getting, and it's being digested properly. If you still got your gallbladder, if you haven't, it's really not.
Whoops, I think I lost you again.
So,
oh, there you are. You're back.
Less and less people are having gallbladders removed, but it used to be quite a few years ago that almost everybody had their gallbladder removed, and that was a very, very unhealthy thing to do. So anyway, so now, of course, it picks up these nutrients as it goes past certain little cilia that says, I want vitamin D, I want vitamin E, I want...
The cilia are little hairs, little sensors?
In the bowel.
Okay.
What you need. Yeah.
So my bowel, the lining of my bowel is hairy?
Well, that's just a term.
Okay.
Receptors.
But they're receptors, and they are little hair-like projectors, aren't they? Okay.
Yeah. And then, of course, what happens with all of that, now, if that's not being done correctly... Now we should all look at our poop. Every day you should look at your poop because it tells volumes of what's going on in your body.
Like what?
Well, and you might have dark stools, you might have loose stools, you might even have some whole food still in your bowel. You should always look at your excreta when you get up off the toilet seat. And when you go to your doctor, that should be something they want to see, is bring me some of your poop so you can get a little container, and because that's very, very significant. And we're
so
not
your poop is contains all the things that are left over after the processes take place, and yeah. And if you have whole chunks of food in there, well, that just means you didn't chew it at the other end.
Maybe not, yeah, or maybe there was something, it might have had chemicals in it, it could have had herbicides that didn't allow it to be broken down properly. So track your poop, especially if you've got symptoms of certain things, then write down, what does it look like? What color is it? What texture is it? Has it changed? So that all should be looked at.
Okay, I have some advice because we got about 12 minutes left to go, and I do want to we finished, right? Sort of. We went from the mouth right to the anus. We've done the journey, and we know that very special things happen at different stages along the way, and each stage before the next is the preparatory phase for the next stage. So
that's right.
It's got to go right.
That's right.
So what? And the last stage is the poop, and you want people to look at their poop, and you suggest that they should from time to time take some into the doctor and say, "Got a gift for you, doc. Have a look at this."
Well, especially if they've got problems and they got issues, and like that's part of the diagnostic thing, is to look at different things rather than just, oh, here's a medication.
Okay, so. Here's a good test because we have the holidays coming up, and I want to talk about that a bit today and next week. If Prince Edward Island isn't snowed under and you have electric power there, you're going to come back on, and we're really going to hit the holiday period of time, right? We're going to help people take charge. So here's what they got to do. I wonder how many will do it. I'll ask them to write in. And if they do it, I will send them free of charge an e-copy, that is an electronic digital copy of our book, Eat to Save Your Life. Do you have that, listeners? All you have to do is do what I suggested a minute and then write to me and tell me you did it, jerry.paquette, Jerry, J-E-R-R-E dot Paquette, P-A-Q-U-E-T-T-E at gmail.com. What you have to do is you have to have a look at your poop tomorrow morning. And then on January the 5th, I want you to have a look at your poop again and write down the difference, because you'll have been spending the holidays eating, and I want to know what happened, if it's noticeable. Do you think it will be, Gloria?
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Is it a good idea?
Yeah, I think
okay.
It's a good idea.
All right. So this is... Okay, we'll do that. All right, so let me just take a little bit of a break here, and I want to come back with some quick suggestions that you may have for people to get ready for the holiday season. I'll put it a different way. To get ready to eat better than they ever have during the holiday season and still really enjoy themselves. Okay, I want everybody to know that they're listening to Food Action in the Shoe Swap with myself, Jerry Paquette, and my guest, Gloria Askew from Prince Edward Island. She's with me on Skype. And now back to Gloria Askew, retired head of emergency departments, an author, and a nutritionist. Gloria, how can people get ready to shop for the foods that they should eat and will enjoy over the holidays? What should they be wary of?
Well, they should be thinking of, first of all, buy local. If you can buy local, search out your farms. Search out the people that grow the chickens, that they're out in the barnyard. I mean, the first thing I did when I came here to Prince Edward Island was I phoned around to find out where can I go where the chickens are out in the barnyard. And then they told me a farm that was very close here, so off I went. And that's how I grew up, on a farm with the chickens out there. And so you can actually put a raw egg from those chickens in your smoothies, and you've got so healthy a smoothie. So you want to be looking for good, healthy vegetables and fruits. And try to get the ones that aren't from another country if you can, because if you're getting fruits from another country, put them in a solution that you can clean those outer
skins.
And stuff. Yes, you want, or peel them if you have to do that. So that's very important. And avoid white anything, because they're all processed: white flour, white bread, white pasta, white rice, because there's no fiber, so they're dead and they're going to damage your bowel.
Now let's clarify the rice for a minute there, Gloria. Rice, when it's first taken off its plant body, has a coating around it, which turns it gray or a golden brown or a variety of other colors. Inside, it's white. But that husk that's taken off, that's where all the nutrient value is, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And things like apples and bananas, they're white, but that's not the kind of white that you're talking about.
No, that's right. No, that's just... So you want to just look for everything that you could buy that would be the healthiest food for you and your family. And And then, of course, there's the parties, you know, and when you're going to go to parties, and we're going to do that, I had one at my house the other night, but before you go to a party, and this is all about you, you can decide, am I going to be healthy down the road? Am I going to think of the things that are going to help me to be healthy, or am I just going to go there and have fun and eat whatever there is and whatever? Because that's what's happening, and I don't want to be obese. I don't want to have all these toxins in my body. I don't want to have all these things that stop insulin from working properly. So eat before you go, a little bit before you go to the party. Maybe just have a bowl of really healthy.
Whoops, she's hiccuping again.
A protein snack.
Oh, you're back. Okay, we lost you there for a minute. Oh, and we're losing you again.
Are you losing me?
Yeah, go ahead, keep talking. We're coming near the program. Let's just cross our fingers.
Okay. So anyway, what I learned was one time I was eating some of those really yummy-looking baked things, and then when I ate it, I thought, oh, it wasn't so good. I wonder why I bothered having that. So now what I do is when I go to one of those, I'll often say to myself, oh, gee, that looks really good. I might, no, you know what? I bet that's one of those things I don't like. So I kind of talk to myself, but look for things that are more veggies on the table, a protein source on the table, things that are healthier. You can have avoid things that would last for a whole year if you left it out. You want use a small plate, or maybe just a napkin so you don't eat huge amounts. So drink lots of water. If you're going to have a drink, have a nice glass of red wine, but don't have seven and get enough sleep, certainly. I looked up a few sort of guacamole is a fairly good choice because it's got avocados in it. Oh, and your avocados... at home, you should eat one of those at least two or three times a week. And the seed, dry the seed, that outer coating comes right off. And then you can just grind it up in a coffee grinder. And I put the avocado seed into my smoothies with some turmeric in it. And it's so healthy. And then salsa is another good one to be looking like. If you've got that, if you see that there, great. Have some salsa because that's tomatoes and lime and so on. And then it's got vitamin C and lots of fiber.
Now, Gloria, we're running out of time, so I'm going to dive in here because we're going to come back next week and go through some of this again, so we don't have to rush it. They should also be on a vitamin regimen. Should everybody be on a vitamin regimen?
Everybody should be on a vitamin regimen because we don't get enough nutrients in our foods today. And we want to make sure if it is a vitamin regimen, you want it to be certified organic.
Okay, we'll talk about all of that next week. But I don't know whether you can hear them, Gloria, but the boys are starting to come in. They're still asking for their food, Gloria's food supply. I don't think they're going to get it again. They're going to be disappointed. So we'll let them try. And we'll come back next week and we'll tell everybody a bit more about food, nutrition, the details of it, and we'll remind them about their gut and that what they're trying to do is stop the war that's raging in that gut because of the wrong things they're putting in it. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And don't forget, have a look at your stool today and then do it again in January, and I will send you an ebook. Bye for now, everyone, and bye to you, Gloria.
Bye-bye.